Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Over the next hour, you'll hear two actresses at interesting points in their careers. Marla Sokoloff is developing a directing side, lately with new Lifetime original movie, Blending Christmas. She joins me next. Marcella Blanc has the biggest role in her young acting life, reaching viewers Sunday night on the CW. She's a member of The Waltons Homecoming, and we'll connect with Marcel next half hour. Also ahead, a new TV series live for Alien and Blade Runner, Bobby Flay and Food Network Stay United, Philly Parade Vision this Turkey Day, and our classic trivia question with the most prizes we've ever offered in one shot. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, it's Thanksgiving week 2021, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Welcome to the first of three episodes of a triple header this Thanksgiving week. Happy to have you with us, wherever you may be. 51 degrees at the top of the hour. We have some wonderful guests to kick off our first hour for you, and we invite you to be interactive with them and us. All you have to do is pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect with others through Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker TuneIn screen. Follow instructions, other people live with you. Marla Sokoloff from the new Lifetime movie Blending Christmas joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. Ridley Scott film fans, listen up. New TV series renditions of Blade Runner and Alien are in the works. Both series are planned for 10 episodes. Scott acknowledged in a BBC interview during earlier today. He added that Blade Runner and Alien pilot episodes have been written and ready to be filmed. Last December, FX announced plans to go forward with an Alien saga from Fargo showrunner Nora Hawley as overseer. Well, it looks like Bobby Flay and Food Network have renewed their video marriage vows. Flay and his Rock Shrimp Productions will continue to host and produce shows on Food Network through 2024. What's more, Flay's new three-year agreement will allow him to develop new content for Discovery Plus and possibly HBO Max when and if parent Warner Media merges with Foot owner Discovery next year. If you can't get enough parade coverage Thanksgiving Day, or you want another parade to see instead of Macy's Big Bash here in New York, fear not. Hulu will carry live coverage of Philadelphia's parade celebration covered by ABC local affiliate WPVI-TV, a.k.a. 6ABC. 9 other ABC affiliates, including Washington, D.C., Raleigh, North Carolina, and Puerto Rico, will also simulcast the Philly parade, co-sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. That's news notes for now. We'll have quickies for you after the bottom of the hour. But right now, join us from Los Angeles, actress and Lifetime made-for-TV movie director, Marla Sokoloff. Marla, welcome and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Thank you, thank you. Marla, how'd you get the directing bug, especially the made-for-TV movie directing bug?
Well, let's see. This has been like a 5-year journey in the making for me. I, I just really felt like there was something more for me out there than just, you know, acting. I was just ready for this time in my life to pivot, really. And so I wrote and I directed a short film that starred myself and Judy Greer. And it got a lot of attention, which was really exciting. But then I kind of realized I don't know as much about directing as I want to know, you know, to really dive in. So I took the next 2 years off of acting and I shadowed directors and, you know, just really took the time to learn as much as I could about the other side. And then Lifetime came to me with this opportunity to direct a movie called The Christmas Hotel, which starred Tatiana Ali. This was like 2 years ago. And, yeah, I haven't really looked back since. It's just been, this continuing process of figuring out, like, where to next.
Well, with so many holiday movies playing all over the place, Lifetime included, why did you decide that this was the one to make your directing debut?
You know, it was out of all the scripts I read, I just really thought that one, it had everything to it. You know, these Christmas movies can sometimes be formulaic and can tend to be slightly boring, but this one didn't really have too much of that. And Tatiana Ali was already attached to Star, and I'm such a huge fan of hers, and I knew that it would be so great to have, you know, a female lead as, you know, one of my first actresses to work with in the film. And it also it just included a lot of people that I really love to work with. So that was also very enticing.
How did that help you become part of the family, let's say, with your production crew and with your fellow actors?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that, you know, here you are, you're the new person in their careers, the new person in there, and you have to like enroll them in sort of not only their vision of the character, but also your vision of the film.
Yeah, and it's such a precarious thing because a lot of people, you know, obviously were familiar with me as an actress, and then to see you kind of pop up on set in a different capacity could be like a little bit jarring. And I think maybe the first like 2 days there was a lot of you know, me feeling like I needed to prove myself, but in reality, I probably didn't need to. And once everybody trusted me and got on board and knew that I, you know, or realized rather that I knew what I was doing, it was pretty seamless. You know, as far as allowing an actor to bring their vision and their side of their story to a movie, my secret weapon as a director, because I feel like it's so collaborative and it's so exciting to talk to an actor as a director coming from a director's point of view, but understanding everything as an actor and knowing what they've been through and what they're going through and their choices they make and how wonderful it is to talk to. I love actors and I love talking to them. I love, you know, digging into the creative process with them. And I think it's just been really cool, you know, to see how people gravitate toward directors that have an acting background, because there's really nothing like it, you know, as far as understanding all of the bits and pieces that go into creating a character.
Mm-hmm. Before you got the cameras rolling, did you talk to either other made-for-TV movie directors or other women who have done Lifetime made-for-TV films? Lifetime has become a big advocate of having directors, and particularly actresses, who want to direct, giving them their break.
Yeah, I mean, they're such huge advocates for getting females just, like, front and center, be it writers, directors, actors, cinematographers. Like, they really walk the walk as far as, you know, their mission statement as a company, which is really exciting for a lot of females out there. They just really give opportunities all the time. And, yeah, I talked to tons of directors, you know, before I left. I think I had like a 3-week prep in Los Angeles before I left to go to Utah where we filmed it. And I talked to pretty much anyone I could, anyone that would listen to me, and had people, you know, just give me their 2 cents on, you know, I mean, the most nerve-wracking part for me was actually showing up and getting people, you know, to take me seriously. You know, it was like a whole new career path. And that's the great thing about, you know, people in this business is they really want to help, and it's the scariest part is asking people. So, you know, if I have any advice to anybody out there listening, you know, always ask the question, and like the worst that can happen is somebody says no. But 9 times out of 10, people just really want to, you know, guide and help you.
Well, let's buckle up for the first of our 2 guests this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, kicking off our annual Thanksgiving week triple header. We're with you today, tomorrow, and Wednesday at this very hour. And Marla's latest work is a made-for-TV movie director. It's called Blending Christmas. It is also on Lifetime. It premieres Sunday, December 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Marla joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. And if you have a question or comment for her, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up less than 24 hours from now on our show tomorrow, we'll have the executive producing director of the new special, Disney's Holiday Magic Quest. He'll be running on both Disney Channel and on Disney Plus next month, and that's Arthur Spiegel. And on Wednesday, our lead guest will be the executive producer and showrunner of the National Geographic miniseries sequel to their acclaimed show several years ago, The Hot Zone. Last time around was about the Ebola situation. This time it's with Anthrax, co-starring Daniel Day-Kim and Tony Goldwyn. Executive producer and showrunner Kelly Solders will be with us. And that's all coming up tomorrow and Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned later this hour we will tell you about our first show of next week. It'll be another triple header week, and we have a very special hour in store for you. And if you are a particular sitcom fan, you'll like what we have to tell you about one of our guests coming your way next Monday. So let's talk now, Marla, about your latest effort in directing called Blending Christmas. Tell that, what's that all about and how did it come to be?
Yeah, this one's really exciting. It has a great deal of cast members from The Brady Bunch. So that was just such a thrill. I certainly never thought in a million years that I'd be working with The Brady Bunch. Like when I was, you know, a little kid homesick from school watching reruns of that show, that little girl would not have believed this. But yeah, it also stars Hayley Duff, who is an old friend of mine. So it was really exciting to work with her because it was our first jobs back after being locked in our homes for a year and a half. So it was nerve-wracking, of course, to step foot on set, but to have somebody there who I've been so close to over the years around was very comforting. And I know, like, on both sides we've talked about this. But yeah, it's a family-friendly Christmas film. This one is actually not snowy, which is rare for these movies. It takes place in the Grand Canyon and has, like, lots of really fun cameos. And, I would like to believe it's done in a way that it's not campy. It's just, you know, a family story, but with a Christmas theme throughout.
How does the Grand Canyon and this non-snowy background figure into the plot?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but there was a famous episode from the Bradys where they did go to the Grand Canyon. So it was a little bit of a play, like a wink, nod on that episode. And then also just because it was the pandemic, we were trying to not travel. So we actually found somewhere here in Los Angeles that doubled as the Grand Canyon for us. And it allowed us to keep it in one location, which is, you know, really important when you're dealing, you know, with COVID and the regulations and all of that stuff. So it had a lot of reasons why.
Who from Brady Bunch did you direct?
So we got Christopher Knight, we got Barry Williams, we had Susan Olsen, and let's see, who else was in it? I think that was it for the, no. Oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking now. This is like, oh, and the guy who played Cousin Oliver, who's fantastic, and Mike Lookinlant.
I met Christopher 2 years ago when they had a Discovery event because I had known him from watching him as a game show host on Trivial Pursuit America Plays. The other was a marvelous version of that show. It was on WWR here in New York. They did no publicity for it, and I think it was one of the reasons why the show only ran a year. It was a great idea, which was having people from home watching submit the questions that they would use.
Yeah,
and also,
that's cool.
If they won as a team, they could take home like $10,000-$15,000. For a show.
Oh,
if they were lucky to be the
winner. Nice.
But I'll tell you, Chris was fun to talk to.
He's
a really cool person.
He really is, and now he has this whole line of, like, outdoor furniture. I don't know if you know about this, but, like, while we were shooting, they did this Meghan Markle interview, and she was at Oprah's house or, like, her neighbor's house or something, and she was sitting in Chris Knight's chair, and it was so exciting. I'm like, you're just, like, a man of so many talents.
How did you want the Brady actors to play? Did you want them to, like, as you said before, you know, nod, wink, wink with their characters?
Yeah.
Or did you want to play straight without any sort of satirical bent?
Yeah, I think I didn't want it to be any sort of satire. I really liked the material kind of, like, spoke for that piece. It really handled that part of it. So just throwing the actors in, really, it was just kind of like a nice way to introduce the family in a kind of creative, fun way. And like the first opening shot that we see them all, you know, in a really stylized way that reminds you of the opening titles of The Brady Bunch. So there was a couple of things that we did that were just really more fun, but I certainly didn't want it to be over the top or campy, like I said. But, you know, a lot of them hadn't acted in a while, so they brought a lot of nerves. And, you know, Mike, who is so funny in the movie, he's like, his character is one of my favorites. You know, when he got there, is the first thing he said to me was, you know, I'm not an actor, right? I'm not really sure how I'm going to pull this off. But they all just, like, really went back into their roles respectively, and did it so well. You know, they're just so talented and so fun to watch.
Now that you've directed two of these holiday films, what in your mind makes a good holiday movie, especially when you have so many of them now that are being produced every year, whether it's for Lifetime or Hallmark Channel or Hallmark Movies and Mysteries or Netflix, which won an Emmy Award last year for the Dolly Parton Christmas movie, Christmas on the Square?
Yeah, I know. There's so many of them. I mean, for me, and it was definitely one of my favorite themes throughout this movie, is the importance of family and the importance of showing up for your family, not just, you know, keeping in touch or when people really need you. And this had a little tiny storyline going on where Haley lost her mom, and it brought up a lot of feelings about her and grief and how grief is really exacerbated during the holidays. So I think that's great. I think as long as you cry a little bit, be it happy tear or sad tear, that is very important to me. And, you know, I don't know. I just love Christmas, Simon. What can I say? I just really love it, everything about it.
Mm-hmm. Great time of year. And going from the first Christmas movie you did from Lifetime to this one, where do you think you made progress or the most progress as a director?
I mean, for me, it was all confidence. You know, I certainly had more confidence in myself going into this one. And, you know, when a lot of the same crew worked on it, which was really exciting. So for me, it was that. It was, you know, the first time, I think we all go through this, no matter what your career is, where you have that moment of, like, imposter syndrome, you know, where you're like, I don't even know why they gave me this, but I'm here. And, you know, so I definitely had to work through that. And I think on the second one, I had directed something else in between that wasn't Christmas. So for me, it was like, okay, this is, you know, my opportunity is obviously coming for a reason. People, you know, believe in me.
Did you see that was good, by the way, rather than jumping from one Christmas movie to another, to do something, a made-for-TV film on a totally different level? What was that film, by the way, and how did that, embellish your career?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been more different. Had nothing to do with Christmas. And, it's a movie called Rosedale Day. It's about seven friends who come together every year and drink wine by the pool, and there's a lot of, you know, debaucherous things that they do. But this one year, they come together, and they kind of realize that, like, their friendship has run its course. And, you know, what do you do when that happens, when you realize a lot of the friends that you're friends with, you probably wouldn't be friends with today if you met them. So, yeah, it couldn't have been more different. And I do think that's important. I don't, you know, obviously I'm not seeking just Christmas films. I love working on them, but I'm open to all the things.
Yeah. And speaking of open to all those things, in a moment we're going to talk to Marla Sokoloff about a TV series that she is developing, and we'll see where that is shortly. Marla Sokoloff is our first half guest on our first of our Thanksgiving week triple header. Third year we're doing it here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Marla's in Los Angeles. By the way, the movie that she just did for Lifetime is called Blending Christmas, starring Haley Duff. It premieres this Sunday, December 12th. That's Sunday, December 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Lifetime available on cable and satellite all over the U.S. of A, and maybe elsewhere, too. Now, if a question or comment is with Marla, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday will be the first of another week of Triple Header shows. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week, so we'll wrap up November, and then we'll be on December 1st and 3rd at this very hour. And coming up next Monday, we'll bring back someone we've had on 2 years ago. His name is Greg Kahn. He was the producer and chief executive of the Internet of Things Consortium. And a few weeks ago, it changed to the Emerging Tech Exchange, which is a bigger, broader palette, if you will. But still, we'll focus with him about where television is at and where it's going and how technology like the metaverse, virtual worlds, interactivity, how that all gets into the world of TV. That's our first half guest. And then we have a great treat for you. Remember Family Affair? It was 55 years ago this fall that popular CBS situation comedy with Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot started its five-year run. And we will have one of the folks who they adopted on that show. We're talking Sissy herself. Kathy Garber will be on the program. And she's here because she has had a very interesting career post-Family Affair, and she's become along the way keeper of all things with that series. And she just put together a new book about her time on the program and in honor of Family Affair's 50th anniversary. And she'll be with us to talk about it, and we will offer that book as an upcoming classic trivia question prize. Kathy Garb from Family Affair, 1 week from today, right here on Tamarvi Televised. Do not miss. Of course, starts 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. So, Marla, right now I understand that you are trying to get a TV series off the ground. Where are you at with that?
Oh, my. This has been years in the making. It's a show based on that short that I was telling you that I first originally directed called Preschool in L.A., and it's called Mom Brain. And, you know, it's just about crazy life as a mom and how hard it can be and the hilarity that children bring into your life and, you know, the trials and tribulations of fitting in or not fitting in as a mom. And yeah, that one was under development for almost up until the pandemic. And then it's no longer in development. So now I'm kind of just debating if I, you know, want to find a new home for it or if she's just going to be done with her journey. We're not sure yet.
My understanding was that you were working with Hello Sunshine, Reese Witherspoon's production company, on that. Is there a possibility that the two of you can get back together and try to see if this can become a series?
You know, I think that will probably – I would love to work with them. It was such a I had such a great time with my development phase at that company. So it didn't end poorly or anything. But I think it would probably be on a different project. I think, you know, as many things, you know, start to develop in – this town and with different productions, it just wasn't really like the right time for that particular piece. So yeah, I think we could work together again in the future for sure, but just probably on something else. I mean, it would be a dream to work with Reese. She's like so incredible. Love her.
So where does your behind the scenes career go from here? Do we see more made for TV movies in your future? Or do you decide, well, I'm going to balance that maybe with a move into episodic television?
Oh, gosh, that would be so great. I would love to move into episodic television. Right now I have 3 movies lined up, actually. 2 of them are not for TV. One of them is, and then the other 2 are just, you know, features that will shoot in the spring and summer. So that'll be really exciting. And we're kind of casting and doing all of that, like, prep work now before the holidays. And then I'm having a baby in February, so that's happening then. And so, yeah, it's going to be a busy year.
Yeah, that's a big production. That is, like, the tiniest production right now for you.
Yeah.
By the way, the TV project that you're, I guess, acting on or directing on – can you tell us a little bit about that and where it's for or who it's for?
Yeah, one of them is a movie called Original True, and it's going to be half animation, half live action, which is really exciting because that is not a world I have been in as an actor even. So super excited about that. It's basically like a high school teen love story. And then the other one is an adult like romantic comedy, not adult like sexual. That sounded really horrible. Like it will be not about teens, romantic comedy. And then the third one is a thriller, which I also haven't done as a director yet. So super excited about that.
If there was 1 or 2 television series that invited you to come on as an actress, which series would you do, given all the programs out there?
You know, I'm really having a moment with Succession. I just think that show is so beautifully written, acted, directed. Everything about it is just so flawless, in my opinion. So I would for sure be jumping at the chance to be on that show. And then let's see. I would probably want to mix it up and do a comedy after that one. What are the comedies that are on the air right? My go-to is always like Modern Family because I love that show so much. But now it's not on anymore. But like something like that. That would probably be my next choice.
It's Emily with Modern Family. Stay tuned because we have a news note quickie about one of the cast members of Modern Family who is about to present a very different kind of project for her. So stay tuned. That's coming up in our News No Quickies after the bottom of the hour.
Oh, very cool.
So more about that and so forth. By the way, what are your before we go? What are your favorite TV shows to watch, or what are your favorite TV shows in terms of watching as a director to see how it's done?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Succession. Like I said, I feel like I've learned a lot about like just the camera choices on that show. They're really interesting and like super engaging. As an audience member, I love Handmaid's Tale, a little bit like dark on this, you know, not a comedy. And again, I go back to Modern Family because I love that everything, it was kind of similar to The Office where the camera was kind of a character. I love watching shows like that, that kind of, you know, make you feel like you're in the show and involved in it as well. Those would be my picks. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I like watching, like, a good reality show every now and then, too.
Oh, well, what's your favorite reality show at the moment?
You know, I will watch any housewife, any city. Like, I just love those housewives. I can't get enough.
And don't forget, we're going to see the first Real Housewives made-for-TV movie coming up next month on Peacock.
That's right, with Kyle. That's exciting.
So that's going to be a very interesting transition for those housewives who get really dramatic.
Exactly. They have to follow someone else's script.
Yeah, not their own. Someone else's script. A very interesting challenge. You can see Maria Sokoloff's latest work in the world of made-for-TV movie directing on December 12th. That's a Sunday night on Lifetime. The film is called Blending Christmas, starring Hayley Duff and some people from the Brady Bunch and maybe some other folks that you haven't seen in a great while. Again, the film is called Blending Christmas, Sunday, December 12th, the premiere date, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Check your locals where Lifetime is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the film and the network online, go to MyLifetime.com. That's MyLifetime.com. Blending Christmas, Sunday, December 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Wallace Sokoloff, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with the film, and good luck with what else is coming in your both acting and directing career. And to you and your family, all the greatest for a great Thanksgiving and a super holiday season.
Oh, thank you. You too. I still love talking to you.
Same here, Marla. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye.
Marla Sokoloff from Blending Christmas, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow be televised coming away, but first some words from our fine friends at Audible.com. Speaking of all sorts of funny fantasy things, well, here's an audiobook that just came out. It's one of the new Audible originals you might like for you or your family this holiday season. It's called Foot Wizard. It's by Terry Mancombe, and it's a very interesting fantasy tale that involves more than just feet and more than just wizardry. Foot Wizard by Terry Mancombe, and you can get it right now. It's one of the new Audible originals that's available to you with a one-month trial with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's now over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, or any of our podcast destinations. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, it's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and yes, health and wellness information while it lasts. Oh, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And here's something even greater. If you don't want the trial and just want to go ahead and subscribe, well, for the next few days, and it's an offer only available through Thanksgiving, you can get an Audible.com subscription at $5 plus per month, and you get a $20 credit on your audiobooks. That's right, $20 credit on your audiobooks. So for all details on that, go to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And don't forget, audible.com makes a great holiday gift for you or someone you love. You're listening to Marvy Televised. We are the program all about the tube, and we're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. This week, our third annual Thanksgiving triple header week. We're on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So tell your friends. Don't forget, on tomorrow's program, we will have Artis Spiegel, the executive producer director of the new holiday special, Disney's Holiday Magic Quest, premieres next month on Disney Plus and Disney Channel. And on Wednesday, the executive producer and showrunner, Kelly Soders from The Hot Zone Anthrax. That's the new National Geographic miniseries. Remember, they had one a couple of years ago about the Ebola situation. This one's about anthrax. The stars include Daniel Day-Kim and Tony Goldwyn. That's coming up on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, You'll hear our second actress of the hour. She is an up-and-comer who's got the greatest role of her life coming up this Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend on the CW. It's the Waltons' homecoming, and her name is Marcel LeBlanc. You will hear her after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for one of the most popular shows of the week, the Key of the Unplugged Show. It's a show unlike any on internet radio or any kind of radio. It's music, entertainment, conversation, so much more. The Key of the Unplugged Show, one of BTR's most popular programs, and it's on tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of our first Thanksgiving week triple header episode of 2021 on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and I've been with you live from New York. Another great person coming your way in the half hour ahead, along with News No Quickies and our classic trivia question of the week with the most prizes we have ever offered in one shot. It's all coming up in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to interact with our guests. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Marcel LeBlanc from The Homecoming, The Waltons Homecoming, premiering this Sunday night on the CW. That's coming up after some News Note quickies. Long-awaited Shonda Rhimes-written miniseries Inventing Anna will play February 11th on Netflix. Scott Mills, the president of BET since 2017, has been promoted to chief executive officer. That announcement came earlier this afternoon. On the Peacock front, jailbound comedy Magruder debuts December 16th, while We Are Lady Pants gets a second season next year. ABC's CMA Country Christmas special is set for next Monday night. Spanish language tune movie Coati, that's K-O-A-T-I, produced by Sofia Vergara and Mark Anthony, premieres Thursday on Prenta TV. That is Univision's mega content service. Stop-motion animated series Santa Inc. with Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen begins December 2nd on HBO Max. And as we see it, Jason Cam's autism-focused dramedy will kick off on Amazon January 21st. That kickoff will be a worldwide one. And that is News Notes for today. 50 years ago, next month, a movie came on CBS that changed the face of family television. It's The Waltons. Originally, it was known as The Homecoming, A Christmas Story, starring Patricia Neal, Andrew Duggan, and in the iconic role of John Boy Walton, Richard Thomas. A year later, CBS decided on the basis of critical acclaim for the film, which was directed by Fielder Cook and written by Earl Hamner, of course, of Spencer's Mountain fame, and also from Twilight Zone episodes, The Homecoming became a television series called The Waltons. And a lot of critics at the time felt it was a sensationally produced show, and it's not going to fly when it's up against The Mod Squad on ABC and The Flip Wilson Show on NBC. Well, little did they know what the American public wanted, because by the end of the first year, The Waltons had become, number one, its time period. It won several Emmy nominations and a Peabody Award, and it went on for a 9-season run and then several years with other made-for-TV movies. Well, this Sunday night, as part of Thanksgiving weekend, the CW will be doing its first ever made-for-TV movie in its 15-year existence, and it is The Waltons Homecoming. And joining us live right now is one of the stars of The Waltons Homecoming, Michelle LeBlanc. Michelle, Marcel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Same here. And where are you calling from, Marcel?
I am in Birmingham, Alabama.
And what are you doing down there?
I live here.
Ah, great, great, great. And happy Thanksgiving, by the way, to you and your family and loved ones, too. And it's great to have you with us. Marcel,
thank you so much.
What do you think of taking on a very iconic role as one of the Waltons?
I mean, I don't even have the right words for how incredible it feels to be not only being a part of bringing back something so iconic, but being able to portray such an iconic role, an iconic character. I mean, I just constantly stop just to think how blessed and grateful I am to be a part of it. So I am just so grateful. I'm so grateful because not only do I get to be a part of bringing back something so iconic, but I'm getting to work with such an incredible cast and crew and kind of bring this back in a special and unique way that I'm really excited about.
How did you find yourself in position, Marcel, to have what obviously is the biggest role of your life so far?
I remember I got an email. I don't remember. This was around May-ish. I got an email that I for an audition for made for the CW's first ever made for TV movie. I was like, this is so exciting. And lo and behold, it wound up being the role of Mary Ellen Walton. And I remember looking at my mom, and I was like, how incredible would this be if I got to be a part of bringing this back? Because I remember when I got the audition initially, my mom freaked out because she was like, this is the Waltons. You have an audition for the Waltons. Imagine being able to be a part of that and then getting the call that they wanted me to play Mary Ellen was so, so special. So I don't even have the right words to describe what it's like to be in that position and to bring back Mary Ellen. And I was actually recently so fortunate enough to meet with Judy Norton, the original Mary Ellen, and talk about the character and how special she is and what it's like to be able to play her and kind of have this kind of passing the torch moment from the two of us was so special.
What was it like to talk with Judy? What does she remember about being on that series, and did she give you any advice or give you any idea or benchmark about here's how you should play me?
It was so special to meet Judy. It was at the LA premiere for The Homecoming, and I remember just seeing her from across the room, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's her. That's the original Mary Ellen. And it was just really emotional moment to finally be face to face and being able to meet her, because I just heard so many incredible stories about her. And obviously through Richard, I was able to hear about how close that they all got while they were filming the series in the original Homecoming movie and how special it was to have that then and that we're having that now. And it was so special to finally be able to meet her and talk about Mary Ellen and how special she was. And she was able, after watching the movie, to come up to me and tell me that she was so pleased with it and how the direction that we took it in and how Mary Ellen was being portrayed. And we got to talk about a lot of her experience on the original Waltons. And it was really special to be able to kind of talk about the character of Mary Ellen and not so much of it. This is how you should play Mary Ellen. It was more of a, this was my experience playing Mary Ellen and your experience playing Mary Ellen and how these two kind of combine and are the same but different at the same time.
Thanks to the CW, I had the opportunity to join other members of the press in seeing you and Richard Thomas and the executive producer of this new made-for-TV movie version of The Waltons. And I asked Richard, because I was a fan of the original show, I think it's still one of the best family dramas shows of its kind ever made, is how this show, which as I said a lot of the critics said, this show is fantastically put together. It's never going to fly. It was done by an independent company named Laura Marr, who had never done television before, with Lee Rich and Robert Jackson and so forth working on it. And yet it lasted 9 years. It beat all the critics' expectations. It became an audience favorite. And it was interesting what he said, which was, it worked because there was always something for anybody who tuned in. If you were watching it as a youngster, if you were watching it as a grandmother, if you were watching it, there was a person in that family or in that scene of them dealing up with Appalachia that you identified with. What would you say about why you think The Waltons was the hit it was the sensation it was?
I mean, I agree with a lot of that. I mean, it's what's so special about family television, and I feel like what's lacking in television today is there's not a lot for families to sit down and watch together, and there's not a lot where, no, if you're sitting down and watching it as a family, the grandmother and the 8-year-old can both find something to love about it and can both find a character that they identify with a lot of. That's something so special and unique that you just don't see in a lot of television. And I think that's what made The Waltons so special. It was a way for families to gather and a way for them to have family time in a way that wasn't necessarily provided before. It was so special because I know, even with the original Waltons, there have been times in my life where I identify with Elizabeth. There have been times in my life where I've identified with John Boy. There have been times in my life where I've identified with Olivia. I mean, there are elements of every character that I think somebody can find something about in themselves, and I think that that's so special.
You're hearing Marcel LeBlanc. She plays Mary Ellen on The Waltons Homecoming. It's the CW's first original made-for-TV movie in its 15 years of existence, and it brings back one of the great family dramas in all of television's existence. and it will premiere this coming Sunday night, 8 p.m. East Pacific time on the CW, and then we'll stream on the CW's app and probably also run on CW Seed, which is their smart TV device and set service. Marcella joins us live from her hometown, Birmingham, Alabama, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Navarro with you up the coast in New York. We're at 51 degrees at the top of the hour. First of our three Thanksgiving week triple header episodes. We're on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday at this very hour. If you have a question or comment for Marcel, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you missed our first half hour, I want to let you know that we have another very iconic person coming your way on our show next Monday, Kathy Garver, the co-star of Family Affair, which 55 years ago started its five-year run on CBS, which was the network that ran the Waltons. And she'll be with us to talk about one of her latest projects, which is a brand new book about her role on Family Affair as Sissy, and much more too. And we'll offer that book later on as a classic trivia question prize. So Kathy Garver, co-star of Family Affair, she's with us live next Monday, 3:00 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, along with Greg Kahn, the president and chief executive officer of what was the Internet Things Consortium, now the Emerging Tech Exchange. That's all Monday, next Monday, 3:00 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Talk about the Waltons' homecoming and what Mary Ellen goes through with her character.
Right. So in the Waltons' homecoming, we're set in 1933 during the Great Depression on Christmas Eve, and we've been told that our dad isn't going to be able to make it home for Christmas. But on Christmas Eve morning, we hear that he is going to be able to, and he's going to try and make it home for Christmas. But some things happen. Obviously, I don't want to say too much to spoil the movie, but I'm so excited for everybody to be able to see what happens and how what the Walton family goes through on Christmas Eve 1933. But Mary Ellen goes through a lot that Christmas Eve, a lot of self-discovery and family love. And I mean, what I love most about Mary Ellen is you really see through this film just how strong she is and just how much she believes in herself and her abilities and how strongly she feels in herself that she's not willing to let anybody tell her that that's not okay. And I think that that's what a lot of what I'm really excited for people to see about Mary Ellen, and especially in this modern and new generation, I'm really excited for people to really see a lot of that in her.
Incidentally, the plot of The Waltons' Homecoming is exactly the same as the original Homecoming, A Christmas Story movie, as it was written by Earl Hamner and directed by one of the best in the business ever, Fielder Cook. Patricia Neal and Andrew Duggan played the parents in that film. Who plays the parents here, and what was it like to work with them?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so Bellamy Young and Ben Lawson play our Olivia and John. And it was so special because I actually had the privilege of working with both of them on a pilot in 2017, which is crazy because Bellamy played my mom in the pilot as well. So it was, I remember getting the role and finding out that they would be my parents and just being so overjoyed because they are both such lights and they are so perfect for the roles. And I mean, Bellamy is Olivia Walton and Ben is John Walton in their real lives and their day to day. So watching them play those characters is so special. And I just love being able to be a part of that with them.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you filmed this movie not far from your hometown.
I filmed it in Covington, Georgia. It was filming. Obviously the Walton homecoming is set on Christmas Eve, and we filmed it in June in Covington, Georgia, which is the exact opposite of Christmas weather. So it was definitely interesting to be acting super cold and freezing and heavy snows when in reality we were all dying of heat.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like shooting the movie in the summer? And I would guess under coronavirus situation with the pandemic. But also the fact that you had, I'm sure, there had to be a few snow scenes somewhere and how you get through those.
Yes. So we had several snow scenes. So it was obviously when they were putting us outside, we were in these wool coats and hats and it obviously, and you can imagine what it's like to be outside in the Georgia humidity and blazing heat in Virginia winter clothes. It was a lot, but actually under all of our wardrobes when we were filming those outside, they had these vests underneath all of our outfits that we could put ice packs in the back of so that it would help us stay cool while we were filming, which was really, really cool. because it definitely helped, and we had fans on standby, but it was so cool, and it was being able to watch the movie now, I mean, it genuinely looks like we were filming somewhere in Canada. I've actually had somebody ask me if that's where we filmed the movie, which was so cool because it was so fun to see where it started when we were on set and seeing all the fake snow and the patches of fake snow on the ground. But then in other places there was still grass. But then you watch the movie and you just completely get lost in where we are. I mean, it genuinely looks like we are in the snowiest, beautiful mountains.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, did any of the local townspeople have an opportunity to play extras or even be supporting cast?
I know a lot of the – actually, there were a lot of the casting. Three of our cast was from Los Angeles, but the rest were cast out of Atlanta, which was so cool. And I was one of those, which was so special. So there was a lot of Atlanta talent and a lot of Covington talent that was in the film. And actually one of our filming days was in downtown Covington. And I remember that was one of my off days. So Logan Troyer, who plays John Boy, and I, on our off day, decided to go walk around downtown Covington. And I saw my executive, one of our producers, walking down the street, which was so funny. And then I was like, oh my gosh, wait, they're filming the Waltons just on the other side of that road. So it was so special to see how we were utilizing Covington.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing about this movie is that the executive producer, I mentioned in the last half hour, Christmas on the Square, which won the Emmy Award this year as Best Made for TV Movie, he is the executive producer also on The Waltons' Homecoming. So he has quite a lot of experience, I understand, in doing Christmas movies.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Sam Hassell is just one of the most brilliant executive producers I've ever had the privilege of working with. And not only is he so brilliant in his craft, he really does go above and beyond to foster such a beautiful and fun and loving set environment. And he made sure that all of us, because, I mean, taking on recreating the Waltons is not an easy task. I mean, there was a lot of pressure, at least for myself, that went into that. I mean, Mary Ellen Walton is such an iconic character, and I know that I walked in asking myself how I was going to do her justice and how I was going to do this and satisfy the original Walton fans. But Sam was so great at making all of us feel so prepared to take it on and letting all of us know that we were worthy of being there and that we were doing something so genuinely special with recreating the Waltons and that all of us were perfect for the roles that we were given, which was so incredible.
The Waltons Homecoming premieres this Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday, 8 p.m. East Pacific time on your local CW station. And we've got the person who plays Mary Ellen in this special revival of the original movie that got to the Waltons, called The Homecoming, A Christmas Story, which I believe you can find on YouTube. Marcella Blanc, who plays Mary Ellen. She's with us live from Birmingham, Alabama, her hometown. This is great to be on this Thanksgiving week. We have a few more minutes with her, and we'd like to have you participate. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week, with the most prizes we've ever offered in one shot. So stay tuned. Get your thinking caps ready. You could be our next trivia winner and win a lot of great stuff. But including some stuff that's really nice, maybe a gift for you or someone you love this holiday season. Marcel, what was the pressure like, given the iconic nature of this show, given people know the tone of the show and Earl Hamner's writing and the wonderful directing and Jerry Goldsmith's theme music and the Goodnight John Boy thing that closed every episode? What was it like as all of you were filming this to try to hit the right tone, hit the way people remembered the show for the 9 years it was running on CBS.
Right. I mean, I know when I got the call that I would be playing Mary Ellen, my initial feeling was so excited. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm bringing back the Waltons. But in the same breath, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm recreating the Waltons. And I immediately was like, this is such an iconic show. And I know that I myself have shows that if somebody told me they were being recreated, I would be a little nervous. And I know that that's for a majority of people, that's the Waltons. So I did not take that lightly. And I did a lot on my own to make sure that I was prepared to be Mary Ellen and play Mary Ellen to the best of my ability. And that was definitely the environment that was fostered on set. And we all spent a lot of time behind the scenes together, and we had this incredible family dynamic, and it made our family dynamic on screen so real and authentic. And We wanted to do everything in our power to make, to really pay homage to the original with it being as incredible as it was. And I remember the most surreal feeling was the day that Richard Thomas came on set to film the introduction. Because we knew that we were bringing the Waltons back, but sometimes you almost forget because it's entirely new people and a new crew and new company. I mean, it was when Richard came on set, it really all sunk in. It was like, wow, we're really doing it. We're really making the Waltons. We're really bringing it back. And it was just so special to have Richard Thomas's support and know that he is in full support of the movie and to be able to talk to a lot of the original cast and know that they are also supporting our version. It's just been so, so special.
And we should point out, too, that the movie has the support of Earl Hamner's estate, Earl Hamner being, of course, the creator and major scriptwriter of the series, Warner Brothers, which acquired Lorimar Telepictures, and that Lorimar, which was the original production company behind the Waltons, they produced the film. And yes, rest easy, folks, the Jerry Goldsmith original theme music is used, and yes, you will see, we're not going to tell you how, but yes, you will see the Good Night, John Boy, Good Night, and so on and so forth. So take it easy. They got that. go ahead.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, I remember when I saw the movie for the first time and I heard the Waltons theme, it was just so special because, just watching all of that play out and really letting it sink in that we really did recreate something so incredibly iconic was just so special.
Yeah. By the way, why do you think that we are seeing a lot of reboots, whether it is the Waltons, whether it is Highway to Heaven, which just started a series of made-for-TV movies on Lifetime. We had, by the way, one of the producers of that on a recent episode. The Wonder Years on ABC, which has been critically acclaimed as one of the best new series this fall. Why do you think we're seeing all of a sudden, these last year or so, we're seeing all these reboots of classic series?
Special about them is they're such feel-good series, and growing up, I sat down to watch The Wonder Years with my family, and I grew up hearing Goodnight, John Boy, and it was always stuff that I did with my family. And I think after coming out of a season of COVID and loneliness, everybody is needing such warmth and family and love and togetherness, and especially being able to see that on television. So I think it's why a lot of these classic, iconic family shows are coming back, so that we can really have those experiences with our family, especially after coming out of a season of such loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you, Marcel. At that CW virtual press event, there was a sense that we may get the Waltons back either as a regular weekly series or we may get as like Highway to Heaven, a series of made-for-TV movies. Have you heard anything about where things stand after the homecoming, assuming it gets a very good audience?
So obviously we are waiting to see how audiences receive The Homecoming, but there have definitely been talks of whether that is a series of made-for-television movies, whether that is bringing back the series entirely. It is our full intention to continue that, and it's something that I am so looking forward to being able to do because I really have loved getting to play Mary Ellen and getting to meet the original and new cast and spend all that time with them and the crew, and I would love to be able to continue that. And I'm so hopeful that audiences love our version of The Homecoming just as much as we loved making it and are so excited to bring it to audiences.
And while we wait for definitive word on that, what's your next TV role? When will we see you next after Sunday night?
So I have several projects out already. I have Just Beyond on Disney Plus, Fear Street, and Stranger Things on Netflix. I was in Criminal Minds. I'm also the current Miss America's Outstanding Teen, so I'm going to be traveling the country for the next few months until July, making appearances with the Miss America organization. I actually leave in December to go to Mystic, Connecticut for the 100th Miss America competition. So a lot of really exciting things on the horizon, and of course, holding out hope that we will be able to continue the Waltons.
Mm-hmm. The Waltons Homecoming, coming your way almost 50 years since the original movie, The Homecoming, A Christmas Story, premiered on CBS. This one premieres this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the CW. Check your local to where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. You'll also be able to find it afterward on the CW app and hopefully also on CWC, which is their smart TV set and device distributed service. And for more details about the program and the service online, go to CWTV.com. That's CWTV.com. Once again, The Waltons Homecoming this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, produced by Warner Brothers. And it is the first CW movie in the 15 years of their existence. Also, because you mentioned Just Beyond, if you haven't seen that show on Disney Plus, do. It's one of the best new anthology shows of the year. Just Beyond on Disney Plus, DisneyPlus.com to get that detail. Marcella Blanc, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations to you and everybody involved for bringing the Waltons back. Good luck with the film on Sunday, and hopefully we will hear and see much, much more of you in the years to come.
Thank you so much. I'm just so grateful that I got to be here to talk about the Waltons and how special it is. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope that you all enjoyed listening.
I'm sure everyone did. And to you and your family and friends, have a fantastic Thanksgiving and holiday season.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Will do. Take care.
Thank you.
Marcella Blanc from The Waltons Homecoming joining us live from her hometown, Birmingham, Alabama. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And for the first time ever, we are offering four prizes, the most we've ever offered for a classic trivia question winner. We've got Betty White, One of the Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life, written by Ray Richmond, who was on our show a few weeks ago. We've got the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook based on the 1990s movie. Bette Midler is going to recreate her role in a sequel for Disney Plus next year. And we have now two more prizes. Remember on Friday's episode, we brought you the Freak Brothers, the folks behind the new Tubi adult animated Toon, which is doing very, very well. Courtney Solomon and Mark Canton, the executives of that show. Well, we have a Freak Brothers t-shirt that we're going to offer. And just in today, a wonderful group of Loud House Nickelodeon crayons. Here's the question. Gil Favor was the lead character in what iconic TV series? Gil, G-I-L, Favor, F-A-V-O-R, was the lead character in what iconic TV series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and your mailing address first. The correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. Four prizes in play, and the winner could be you. We're back tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now, with Arthur Spiegel. He's the executive producer and director of Disney's Holiday Magic Quest. And then, less than 48 hours from now, executive producer and showrunner Kelly Stoden from the Hot Zone, Anthrax, premiering next month, this weekend also, on National Geographic. Came in late on today's show. Want to catch up on episodes you missed? Go to the homepage, livestockradio.com/televised, and check out all of our shows this month and this year. They'll be available to you on podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, we love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. We do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They're not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager, Dave Steinberg is head of content. Website names provided by PodSite, the internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Web coordinator is guitarist Bakus. Tomorrow we televise is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free book or two and much more, audibletrial.com/covers. And don't forget, if you want to go ahead and subscribe, if you do so before Thanksgiving, it's only about $5 a month, and you get a $20 credit from audible.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. It's a great holiday gift for you or someone you love. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Thanks to all of our guests today. Back here tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune and Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. And remember, whatever you do between now and then, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated yet, see your doctor, go over your medical history, and then make a great choice. Until the next time, just less than 24 hours from now, stay well and stay tuned.